This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
With the 10th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee.
All right.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Jay, we got Jay Moore, we got you on a Bears draft reaction Friday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And Cap, there it was. Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears and the staff, got their guy, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle for Tennessee, now part of the Chicago Bears.
I was so excited to see our GM put his money where his mouth is with his draft capital. Address the biggest, most glaring hole on your football team other than your D-line stopping the run. Protect your asset, your quarterback. And thank goodness they passed on Jalen Carter. I was told he was never even in consideration. Once they did their work, they were done. They loved Darnell Wright, and they were absolutely locked in on the Tennessee right tackle. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Now let's see what they do with the remaining 9 picks. But it's about your greatest asset. Is he my guy or not? There's no excuses now. I got you, DJ Moore. I got you, Darnell Wright. I think they're going to add a center here on day 2, whether it's the kid they like, the kid at Penn State, the kid at Ohio State, the kid at Wisconsin, the kid at Minnesota. 4 Big Ten centers they did a ton of work on. They did explore late last night trying to trade back into the first round. I think it was for Nolan Smith, but we'll see. He ended up going to Philadelphia, who had a monster night. But what they did is they added a solid, just a road grader out there. A guy who has a bit of nasty, as Ryan Poles talked about. And you plug and play this kid. And as Lewis Riddick said, I think within 3 years, he's an all-pro. I think within 5 years, he could be the best player out of the 2023 draft. The entire draft. Pretty cool.
Let's hear from Darnell Wright last night as he was chosen by the Chicago Bears.
What up, man? How you doing? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm a little bit in shock, a little bit. I'm just trying to see him. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm happy. Thank you, man. Thank you. Tell Coach Poles, thank you. Tell Coach Poles, thank you.
Which is amazing because Darnell Wright's on the phone talking to the Chicago Bears, and there's where he found out. There's where he got the information that he's going to be a Chicago Bear. It's very simple for me, folks. The Chicago Bears need to have someone on the offensive line. And the general manager of the Chicago Bears just happens to be an offensive lineman. It's funny because, Cap, I believe that in some ways, Poles gave us a little bit of information, a little bit of a wink and a nod in our conversation that we had with him in Indianapolis at the Combine. I told him, hey, put your offensive lineman cap on. Let's talk a little bit about this whole line. He goes, no, it's always on. My offensive line cap is always on. And so when you hear from Poles and he looks at that offensive line, he says, okay, what can I do to help Justin Fields the most? Could I go defensive line? Could I go wide receiver? Could I go running back? No. He looks at the glaring number that everyone knows, that Justin Fields was sacked 55 times last season, and Chicago allowed pressure on 39.5% of dropbacks. That's the worst in the National Football League. Who can I get to try to protect Justin Fields? Oh, I know. How about this big difference maker from the Volunteers, Darnell Wright? He allowed 0 sacks and 850 snaps last year. That's how good Darnell Wright is. The Bears now have picks 53, 61, and 64. But, Cap, to me, this is a no-brainer because we had our choices at offensive line. They didn't get Johnson from Ohio State. They didn't get him. But they got someone I think is just as good or maybe better in Darnell Wright. And here's why. You can watch any game, right? And what we look at, our eyes follow the football. We look at the quarterback play. We look at the skill position guys. And all I know is that the aforementioned Jalen Carter, where was he against Darnell Wright? Oh, he was stopped at the line of scrimmage. Because you'd say, as a Georgia fan, hey, how come we can't get home on their quarterback? Because Darnell Wright was a big part of that. That's why.
Monster.
Look at the tape. Him one-on-one against Jalen Carter. Just his hands up, being able to make sure that his quarterback was protected. That's what I want for the Chicago Bears. When the first word about Darnell Wright, oh, Darnell Wright, nasty. That's all you need. That's all you need to know. A guy that's going to have Justin Fields back and a guy that won't be a leaky faucet on that offensive line. That's good. That's a good pick by the Chicago Bears.
You always like to call it an iron gate. And that's what the Bears are trying to build. They've got Braxton Jones on the left. Is he the guy long term? Not sure. I don't know if they're sure. He's training with Olin Krutz, and he's trying to get stronger and get a better base. You've got this kid coming in on the right side. Now just put the seeds in the ground. Water it. Get him stronger. It's not going to happen overnight. They're building this thing the right way. The last time they had sustained success was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Lovie had some sustained success. They didn't go to the playoffs very often. They had that one jump up and go to the Super Bowl time. But when they had, I'm talking about homegrown sustained success, I talked about it the other day, they drafted Dennis Slick and Ted Albrecht and Keith Van Horn and Jimbo Covert, and they added Jay Hilgenberg and Mark Bortz. They kept throwing assets at the offensive line. Keep doing it. Get yourself a young, aggressive, intelligent center who can identify. There's the Mike linebacker. 55's the Mike. That's what we need. We need to build.
I know Generation Y and Generation Z rolls their eyes at us when we bring up the Ditka Bears, right? Mm-hmm. That era.
They do.
But the only reason why that we bring this up, Cap, is because we're talking about how teams are built. That's the last good time that we could talk about the Bears being able to build a team toward a championship. And the reason why we'll bring up the 80s again is because of Darnell Wright. At 10, this is the first time Chicago has selected a player on the offensive line in the top 10 since 1983 when they took the aforementioned Jimbo Covert at 6. So that's why it's important. The reason why, we're just giving you history. We're not living in the past. We're just telling you that the way things are built in organizations today, like the Eagles in Kansas City, Seattle for a long time, and others build, is they say, okay, well, we got to have protection for our quarterback. We got to be able to have guys that can rush the passer. So when we bring this up, we talk about how the Bears started from nothing in the late 70s under Ditka, building it up to a franchise that was a perennial winner.
And Finks. And he's the one who put the blueprint in.
Yeah, but the perennial winner.
Correct.
It came from being able to put together an offensive line and difference makers so you could have those guys around for a decade or more. So when you think about Jimbo Covert, a great player, not saying that that's who Darnell Wright is, but I understand the philosophy that they're trying to do at Hallis Hall.
Completely agree. And I keep hearing they want to take a center reasonably high now in the second or third round. We'll see who's on the board. You can have all the plans in the world, and the good Lord laughs and goes, no, sorry, he's gone. Mm-hmm. That guy's taken. So we'll see what they do there. I just love that they did not outthink things, and I love you're sitting there at 9. Okay, our guy's on the board. We can take him right here. The Eagles are like, we want Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Okay, you want Jalen Carter? We're thinking of taking him. No, they're not. He wasn't even on their board.
Well, before you knew that, let's talk about that for a second. I just want to know your feeling because I was not with you last night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know your feeling because I'll tell you mine. So you go through the draft and we'll break it down because it was a wacky, wild draft early in the first round. So here comes the number 9 pick. And before we knew that there was a flip between the Bears and the Eagles, you're like, hey, Jalen Carter's still on the board. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. Because we speculated that this is a top 10 talent. Whatever you think of Jalen Carter on and off the field, that's a top 10 talent.
You're correct.
Whatever evaluators think of Jalen Carter, I told you over the last few weeks, hey, man, he may not pop to you on film, but he learned how to play defense from a great defense where Kirby Smart in Georgia. He'll find a way to get home to the quarterback. He will have that motor on the next level because he was surrounded with so much defensive talent. There's guys pushing Carter back like, I got this guy. I got the quarterback. Not you. I got him. I got linebackers that's getting after the quarterback. I got other linemen. And Carter was lost in the sauce. There's no doubt about that. But there was some plays that made me think, he's going to be a good splash player, a solid, decent player in the National Football League. So I just want to know your gut reaction. Before you knew the flip, he's like, wait a minute. Here comes the ninth pick. Oh, God.
Okay.
Carter's still on the board. What's happening now?
Okay, so at pick eight is going to be Bijan Robinson.
Nailed that one, didn't we?
Okay, yeah, there you go. So before they announced that pick on TV, and there's, you can ask Danny, the scene was amazing. Amazing. They took photos of the Bears from up above. They're like, this is incredible. Like, they've never had that.
No.
There were hundreds and hundreds of people in front of my little set. Waddle and Sylvie had a ton up there. There were 6,000 people. Every ticket was sold out. And people were so excited, all decked out in their Bears gear. And so, before Bijan Robinson's off the board, we already know. Because the Bears had a floor director the set that I'm hosting on. So he takes his headset off. He's like, running back just went to Atlanta. And I'm watching the TV, and they're in commercial break. It's not even up there.
Sure.
Really? He said, yeah. And don't say anything yet. We're trading down. What?
And you're thinking, how far?
Because as soon as he said running back, I'm like, oh, son of a gun. I've been clear. I don't want Jalen Carter if I had five number ones. Mm-hmm. Don't want him. We don't have the infrastructure. I'm talking of players that hold a guy like that accountable and teach him how to be a pro. The Eagles, perfect spot for that kid. Fletcher Cox and Hassan Reddick and Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey. They've got all that. We do not. Can't take a chance. So I'm thinking, oh boy, if they're going to take Jalen Carter. Please don't do this. And then he turns around and goes, we're going back. Eagles are coming up to get Carter. Oh, thank God. What are we going to do? I'm thinking, okay, here comes Pittsburgh. They're going to go to 11, and we're going farther back down. And as you said, don't keep just trading. And I got more picks. Eventually, you got to pick somebody.
Yes.
And when they said, we're taking the kid from Tennessee, bam, there we go. I liked Paris Johnson Jr. 1, this kid 2. Those were my two guys on the offensive line. And then I liked Nolan Smith. The Eagles got him 2.
I'm thinking to myself, as I'm watching the Hood Cave yesterday, I'm thinking, okay, so you're at 9, and because you're just watching television. I'm not privy with any inside information, you know, phones off. I'm just watching. And all of a sudden, it's just like, well, Jalen Carter's still there at 9. Well, here we go. I've been saying that he's a top 10 pick. Will the Bears take him at 10? And I'm thinking, well, you need help on the defensive line. You know they need help on the offensive line, but there's still good offensive linemen there. And then when we come to find out that they swap picks with the Eagles, I said, oh, Carter, now what are the Bears going to do? Now the world's their oyster at 10, and they get someone who I think is pretty solid. So, again, this is a situation I think at 9 and 10 that helps both teams. And we'll get into it as we move forward here this morning. But your thoughts on the Bears taking Darnell Wright, what does that mean for Justin Fields? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We'll hear more from Darnell Wright on what it's like to play for the Chicago Bears and playing with Justin Fields. What's your reaction coming up next? The Bears get Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle for the Chicago Bears. Let's get your thoughts on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Bears made their first selection in the National Football League draft. Offensive tackle Darnell Wright is out of Tennessee, and now with the Chicago Bears. He allowed 0 sacks in 2022 over 850 snaps. The Bears now have picks 53, 61, and 64 tonight. The White Sox lost their 8th straight game yesterday, 14-5. Yay. Dylan Cease allowed 7 runs, 6 earned, and 4 innings pitched. The Sox are now 7-19, the third worst record in Major League Baseball. Sox and Rays tonight. That's a 6:07 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs beat the Padres to take a three-game series. Or they took the three-game series and improved to 14-10. Final score 5-2. The Celtics eliminated the Hawks in Game 6 of their game yesterday. Jay Moore.
Cap'n Jay Hood are back.
And you know this.
man.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin, who covers the Chicago Bears and the National Football League for ESPN and ESPN.com, is on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Courtney, we finally made it, the first round of the draft. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
You know how we're doing. We finally made it. After all the things you've written, all the things you've talked about, we finally got it, and it's Darnell Wright. What was your initial reaction to the choice for the Bears?
Well, I think passing over Jalen Carter is going to be a sticking point here, and that we're going to look at how both of these two picks, Darnell Wright and Jalen Carter, pan out for Philadelphia and Chicago. But it's a safe pick, but it's a good pick because you're upgrading your offensive line with one of the best pass protectors in the NFL, in college football. And I think it's funny because typically we talk about, man, this guy's great as a run blocker, but pass protection, that's where he's going to have to grow. And typically you see when you're going against NFL caliber edge rushers, that's a hard job, and that takes some time to get used to. But it's kind of the opposite with Darnell Wright. You rattled off those stats and how well he played for the majority of his career at right tackle, at Tennessee, and he also has some flexibility at left tackle, at right guard. But he's kept his quarterbacks clean, and that's what the Bears brought him in here to do, probably on the right side of that offensive line with Justin Fields. And I think he takes that, he knows the responsibility and the magnitude of what he's going to be asked to do isn't lost on him. So I think it's a good pick. I just think that when we look at this in totality, passing over Jalen Carter, and Ryan Poles certainly had his reasons to do that, even if he wouldn't, truly tell you publicly as to why they made that decision to trade with Philadelphia, that's what we're going to remember this pick for, and that's frankly what we're going to probably judge it on 5-6 years from now.
Okay, so I do not agree with that perspective about we're going to look and see how Jalen Carter turns out and how this kid turns out. I absolutely love this pick a million times over, Courtney. I would not have drafted, and I said this before the draft, this is not Monday morning quarterback in here, I wouldn't have taken Jalen Carter if I had five number ones. Because a guy
Cap, I don't believe that, because I feel like we had a conversation 3 weeks ago, and you asked me if I would take Jalen Carter, and knowing what we know, because again, we all think we know what's going on in those war rooms, we all think that we know all the information that's out there. We both were in agreement that they would take Jalen Carter. We can go back and find that tape.
No.
We were both in agreement they would take Jalen Carter.
I said they might take him. I said I would not take him. I think I've been clear, Hoodie, for weeks. If you gave me five number ones, I wouldn't take Jalen Carter, because I question someone who takes plays off to the degree that he does. Add in all the character stuff on top of it. A rookie GM or a first-year GM or second-year GM who has no track record cannot take a chance on that pick blowing up in his face. Howie Roseman, okay, hold my beer. I'll get another one. I've got Fletcher Cox and all these guys that can teach him how to be a pro. I would never have taken Jalen Carter. And if he turns out great, awesome. He's in a great situation in Philadelphia with all those guys mentoring him. Here, there's no one to do that. So I thought it was a no-brainer, and I heard from people that I trust, he was never even on their board. They did all their homework and went out. Not interested. Does that surprise
you? Howie Roseman, you're right about the Howie Roseman part. He does have the credence of winning a Super Bowl, of building this team, and he has probably more wiggle room to do something like this than Ryan Poles does. And I think that with Ryan Poles keeping this very close to the vest last night, and you was asked the question about, character. Like, clearly, it sounds like character was, at play here, because you let the guy pass for a future fourth-round pick, a player that they very clearly, in not getting a haul for the ninth overall pick, this isn't like some low pick in the later rounds. This is a top-10 pick, and they let him go for a future fourth. That should tell you everything you need to know about how the Bears really felt about Jalen Carter at the end of this. Ryan Poles doesn't have that credence yet. He's a second-year general manager. You're right. There is no leadership truly in this locker room yet that you can bring him in and feel comfortable knowing that he'd be insulated. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are rebuilding this championship Georgia defense. Like, he goes to a place that already had Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. They end up drafting, Nolan Smith later on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's smart. You draft the best players on the defensive side of the ball from the best team. Some teams can take a higher risk at that, though, than a second-year general manager who's still trying to get this rebuild off the ground. I don't fault Ryan Poles for doing what he did. All I'm saying is that at the end of this, we had the same exercise in Minnesota. I'll give you one example with Anthony Barr. They drafted Anthony Barr because the year before they drafted Sharif Floyd, and they thought, hey, well, we don't need to go get Aaron Donald because we have Sharif Floyd, Anthony Barr's right here. Well, that flamed out. That's how we always look at these draft picks and figure out, okay, did they make the right call? Because you can look back in hindsight and say that was the right moment in the moment, but was it the right moment long term? That the jury is still going to be out on.
Let's go to Matt in Streamwood on ESPN 1000 with Courtney Cronin here on Cap and J-Hood. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Hi, Courtney. Matt, ask you, Courtney, do you think that the Bears could have gotten more from Philly just to move up that one spot? I understand. I know we got their fourth-round pick for the Robert Quinn deal. Or was it just basically Howie Roseman getting back at Ryan Poles for, trading for Robert Quinn and not getting anything from him? I just think they could have gotten at least a third-round pick this year or something more in this year's draft than waiting for next year's fourth-round pick for them.
Courtney, what do you think of that?
I understand the logic, and I can understand some of the frustration because you look earlier in the first round, like only a couple picks higher, where Detroit and Arizona do that swap at six. And, of course, the third-round pick with Arizona and Houston, and you see future first-rounders. And that makes sense if you're looking at that saying, hey, I think the Bears could have gotten more, but Philadelphia was going to call the Bears bluff on this. It's pretty obvious that, this was a player that fell to Chicago and everybody was collectively holding their breath to see what the Bears would do at this spot, if they would draft Jalen Carter or if they would let him pass. And I think Ryan Poles was smart to not just let him fall to Philadelphia without getting something in return. And I had heard some buzz earlier in the week. I said this on TV on Wednesday, that they're a team that was, Philadelphia was a team that was afraid Chicago was going to be in their way. They knew that the way that this thing and all of their simulations was going to pan out, that the team they would have to beat to get Jalen Carter was probably Chicago. Now, I don't know if they felt that they were going to have to give up more to get him, but Chicago stood in their way, and it makes sense now when you take a look at this whole thing that Ryan Poles was, if he wasn't going to take this player anyways, to not just simply pass up on him and to get a draft pick for next year, you get something in return to let yourself know, okay, I made the right decision and I have something that I can use for next year. But I too, like in the moment, was looking at that thinking, that's not a whole ton of draft capital, the pick swap and then the future fourth. And I can understand Bears fans looking at that and saying, this is a top 10 pick. Maybe they could have gotten more, but again, you've got to play your cards right. And I think everybody was going to call the Bears bluff on that and say, well, you're not taking him anyways. Why are we going to give you more for a player that you're going to pass on?
So, Courtney, as you look at this depth chart, my depth chart changed because Darnell Wright's on it now. Nate Davis, Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair, Braxton Jones. How urgent should the Bears be to add more to the offensive line in day two?
I think that if you can get some interior depth today, that's a nice way to come away from day two, where you have 53, 61, and 64. There's certainly the need along the defensive line. I have them going edge rusher at 53 because the run has kind of started. It began around pick 27 last night, and we'll see if they end up trying to move up. I don't know if that scenario is going to present itself, but again, we'll see. But the offensive line is still, the interior is still a concern. And you mentioned Lucas Patrick and Cody Whitehair. We still have Tevin Jenkins in this mix, probably at left guard. Do they want to try to get another guard in there? Do they want to go draft their center of the future? Because Cody Whitehair probably doesn't have that many more years in Chicago, considering the contract and considering the age. So we'll see. But I think with three picks tonight, this could be, this is going to be a very important night for Ryan Poles as he tries to build this thing further, because there's defensive players and defensive needs at tackle, at edge rusher, and cornerback that would be a good thing to address tonight before you can start looking towards the depth pieces for tomorrow, and then certainly finding guys who have special teams qualities on them too.
You know, it's amazing. I just walked over to Johnny's computer, Courtney. The Bears have updated the depth chart already at 7:45 this morning. Tevin Jenkins is not a starter. Not a starter. And if you ask the average Bears fan, someone who pays attention, oh, the best offensive lineman prior to last night is Tevin Jenkins. He's not listed among the five. I find that very, very interesting. I still don't think Cody Whitehair's a center. They've tried this with multiple regimes that didn't work out. I could see him, maybe you know better than me, you pay much closer attention to the cap and you're very well versed in it. I could see them not using Cody Whitehair as a starter on this team, saving that money. I don't know about the Lucas Patrick thing. I think they're going to get a starting level center, whether that's John Michael Schmitz, the kid up at Minnesota, Juice Scruggs, the kid at Penn State, the kid Joe Tippmann at Wisconsin, or the kid at Ohio State. I heard they like all four. I don't think they're done on the O-line, but the Tevin thing stuns me. You?
Yeah, I mean, that is surprising. I'm honestly surprised they're up this early updating a depth chart. They typically don't do those things and put them out publicly until you get a little bit further into the offseason. Who knows? Maybe it's a clerical error. It's interesting that Tevin's not on there as a starter when it has been made clear to a lot of us that he will be in the mix for that left guard spot, because they are going to play Nate Davis at right guard. And kind of, I just want to branch off that really quick. So, like, we know Nate Davis, he played right guard in Tennessee, the Titans, that is, and that's where he's going to start this year. There's some question about, well, is Darnell Wright a right tackle? Is he a left tackle? I think he starts at right tackle for a lot of obvious reasons that need to be said again. You play the player where he's most comfortable. You play the player where he's had the most success. Is the positional flexibility a bonus? Absolutely, because if you need to move him over to left tackle, you can. Right now, they don't necessarily have that need, because Braxton Jones showed that he can man that left tackle spot. If he gets another year under his belt where he looks stronger and he's, you know, the whole anchor thing that they talk about is really big part of this equation, because you've got to be able to hold your ground against elite edge rushers, which I think he's getting better at. But I think that Darnell Wright ends up at that right tackle spot because of all of the obvious reasons of that's where he's most comfortable. But, you know, to your point about what they do tonight, the kid from Minnesota, John Michael Davis, is that one is, I think, a no-brainer if he's there, because he was projected as like a very early second round. I had seen some, you know, some loose mocks that he might end up even sneaking into the end of the first round, but that would be a good target for them. They're not done on the O-line. Think about what they did last year. They had four picks on day three, and when Ian Cunningham talked this week, he said that just because they might draft one in round one won't preclude them from doing it again at a later date, and the later date could very well be in a couple hours.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate your time. Have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. How about that?
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Your calls on the Bears next, shot or no shot at 8 o'clock on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning, and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by the fine folks over at
Hawthorne Race Course and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. That's exactly correct. Derby day a week from tomorrow. The great Eddie Olczyk will join us next Thursday on the show with our picks. But download the app. Have some fun. Derby day. Let's make some cash. Here is Shea W. I go to bed earlier than Cap Norling.
Oh, that, you don't have to do that. Good morning, boys.
I called him. I leave Soldier Field.
Yellow.
It's like 10, 6:15. I leave Soldier Field. I was downtown from, I left my house at 4:45 yesterday in the morning. Mm-hmm. I got home, it was 11. I call Shay at 10:08. Voicemail. Yellow.
It's greatest night of the year. It's the draft. I'm going to be up watching it.
I was up watching it.
I'll chat with my executive producer. Have a little combo about what the Lions did, what the Bears did, the trades by the Texans. What'd you think of all the picks, the Eagles? Voicemail.
Can't do it.
Instead, he called to Dan Hampton.
Cappy, this is a reach, and I will tell you why. I drive a Chevy. Back to you. Coach wants that.
Don't worry about it, Shay.
It's so ridiculous.
Don't worry
you
about
know,
it.
Whatever. I go to bed earlier than you. I also wake up earlier than you. I was up at 3:30 this morning. 3:30 this morning.
Yeah, the wipe the donut crumbs off your belly is not waking up.
Well, donut crumbs? What are you talking about? I was in bed with my wife watching the end of the draft, hanging out, and I get a phone call at 10:08 p.m. That's after hours from David Kaplan. I know this is a 30-minute chat. No, I'm putting the phone down. Back on the face. No answer tonight, Cappy. Sorry.
This is not after hours.
10:08?
In the media, that's on call.
That's leave me alone time. You're not giving me breaking news at 10:08. We'll talk in the morning.
Damn. Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
All right, boys. The Bears will have three selections in a cluster today from 53 to 64, barring any trades as the draft moves into the second and third rounds tonight. They got some bona fide protection for Justin Fields now in place with Darnell Wright. So shot or no shot, tonight the Bears need to prioritize the defensive line.
That's a shot. Now, I agree, Cap, that you still want to look at your offensive line because everything's about the protection of Justin Fields. Every bit of this. Offensive line, secondary, offensive weapons. Everything's about Justin Fields. But I still believe because the Bears had, 20 sacks last year?
Mm-hmm.
20 sacks last year? That won't get it done.
Agreed.
You've got to be able to shore that up. And again, whatever they do in the draft may not shore it up. It may not. But you got to try. It just won't get it. This won't be done well with just Elmer's glue and tongue depressors. You've got to be able to get the genuine article over there on the defensive line. Help get to the quarterback for God's sakes for once.
Agree with you. It is absolutely a shot. I have to come out of this draft with another offensive lineman, non-center, and a starting center. Starting.
Poor Doug Kramer.
Maybe he gets a chance. He's on the team.
Just sitting there.
From Illinois last year.
Yeah.
But I want either the kid from, I gave you the four schools in the Big Ten. Just find me a starting center who's really cerebral, can dissect things, hold people account. Give me like Olin Kruc Jr. I want him right there.
Nasty.
Oof. I want somebody who feisty. And I find it real interesting that Tevin Jenkins is not listed as a starter. Boy, is that a shot across the bow. But yes, shot. They're going to also address the defensive line.
Shay Norley.
It wasn't a huge surprise to see the Bears move down, but it was a bit of a surprise to see the way they did it. Essentially swapping picks with the Eagles to get Jalen Carter, and they ended up getting that 2024 fourth round pick as well. Shot or no shot? Jalen Carter was never a part of the Bears' plans last night.
Shot a million times. They did all the homework because, as Hoodie will tell you, one of the top prospects talent-wise in the draft. In the end, there was zero chance they were taking him.
That's based on information that you received. I say no shot because it's a long process. You asked, was Jalen Carter ever part of the process?
Yeah.
That's a shot. That at some point it was, maybe early in the process, but clearly not late. Like I'll tell you what, when it was, Jalen Carter was in the process before we found out what happened in Athens. So I got after the Super Bowl to the combine to the draft. So no, that's I think he was in the part of the process until they found out what was going on, and the Bears were like, no, can't do that. And by the way, not criticizing the Bears or any other team for passing him up. You understand. If we don't have the infrastructure to take care of that young man, and not saying that this kid is just the worst kid in the draft in the first round. The ability is there. The talent is there. The raw ability is there. He was part of the process early before the combine. Absolutely he was. It was a consideration. But now, when you now blessed and privy to the information, oh, no, no, we're good. We'll pass. We'll get an offensive lineman instead.
Agree.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, no, I think he was part of the plan. I mean, he was on their board. They're like, nah, we can't do it now. I get it.
But last night, I mean, at the start of the night, there was never a chance they were taking him. I will say, for me personally, the Eagles and Howie Roseman are becoming a bit like the Tampa Bay Rays, where when you make a deal with them, I feel like you're getting worked a little bit. No matter what happens, whether it's a good deal in terms of value or not, I feel like they have such a precise read on what they're doing right now. It's like trading with the Rays. You don't win those trades. I get a little nervous.
I totally understand. And this is one of those situations for me, Cap, where it works out for both teams.
Yes.
If there's no Kelce in the locker room, if there is no Fletcher Cox around the organization, if there aren't extra Georgia Bulldogs on the team, then if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm like, wait a minute now. Hold on. You sure you know what we're doing? I know that we just got to the Super Bowl, but don't outsmart the room here. Don't think you could fix something, you know. But I think that with everything that the Eagles have within that room, this can help a Jalen Carter. Bears just didn't have that.
Correct. And somebody was tweeting at me, well, can't Poles and Eberflus, these guys hold them accountable? No, it's the infrastructure of veteran players that teach you how to be a pro. It's like you don't always listen to your parents, but somebody else comes into your life and says the same thing. Like TV Dad, that commercial?
Yes.
TV Dad. I just said the same thing. But they listen to TV Dad.
Exactly.
When Fletcher Cox says, we don't do that here. And Hassan Reddick says, we don't take plays off like that, son. He learns, oh, those guys are all pros. Now I know what it takes to be a pro. It's a process.
Yes. And so, and because of that, Cap, I just think that that works out well. By the way, let's go back 24 hours. Here's Mike Greenberg.
They're going to take Jalen Carter.
He's going to be there at 9, Mike?
I do. I think he's going to be there. And I can tell you, let me make it clear, I am not an insider, none of that. I'm telling you what the buzz is everywhere here, because I've been here since yesterday. And all of the buzz is that Jalen Carter is going 9 to Chicago.
Okay, he was there at 9.
And they were never taking him.
No, but he was there at 9. Greenberg got that right. He'll be there at 9.
Little old takes exposed for you at the expense of our teammate, Mike Greenberg.
Freezing cold takes. Here's Shea Norley.
The Bears have had a very clear track of mind this offseason, boys. They traded the first pick in the draft and acquired DJ Moore, and now they went out and shored up the right side of their offensive line in the first round of the draft. It's pretty clear, get Justin Fields some help. So shot or no shot, for Justin Fields, pressure's on.
That is a shot. That's a shot.
Absolute shot. Hoodie's right on the money with that. Nailed it.
On the clock.
He is on the clock. Okay. And when the 3 days this weekend, Shea's version of late night Cinemax is over, 3 days of the NFL draft, he is absolutely going to have, got a new right tackle. I got a new center. I got a free agent right guard. I got a veteran at left guard. Let's go. And he's got DJ Moore, a healthy Darnell Mooney. He's got Chase Claypool re-energized. You better. A good running game, you better put some points up.
Blue Eddie! Hey, Blue Eddie! Let the ball go! Let the ball go! Sack!
Bam!
No excuses! You got time now! Open receiver there, tight end open there. Time to throw. What are you doing? Oh, man, my bad. Blue Eddie! Blue Eddie! Oh, God!
By the way,
why is he running out of the pocket, Cap? Why? He's got time! Cap!
The ball out.
He's got two new offensive linemen! Look at him!
PTSD from a year ago. By the way, yesterday, we take a break on the show. We're waiting for, I think, Jaquan Brisker. Danny and I go to the pro shop. I bought a couple of things in there.
One of them I'm wearing, and the cool Bears orange hoodie. Uh-huh. And I bought this like white pullover thing, this coach's thing. So looking at the entire array of stuff in there, Danny finds the Trubisky's jerseys. They're still in there.
That's ridiculous.
At Soldier Field. I put it on. It was a double X. It was like way too huge on me. Mm-hmm. I put it on. Danny took a picture of me kind of looking back at him. Said I can't give up on Mitch just yet. Not quite, but it was funny. Mitch jerseys on sale at the pro shop in Soldier Field.
Can you give me a price?
I don't know.
Was it the tag hanging?
I didn't look at it. I just put it on because Danny asked me to.
It's so ridiculous.
But it had to be 99% off, right?
Yeah, it should be.
Who's buying it? Except me.
Shay?
Quickly, boys, some sad news yesterday. Jerry Springer passed away after a private battle with cancer. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, Jerry is the king of daytime television.
That's a shot.
That's a no shot.
Phil Donahue's in that discussion.
That's exactly right.
Now, we're not counting Oprah as daytime television, are we? Because if
she was.
Was she on television in the daytime?
Yes.
I thought of her as morning television. I thought of them as afternoon television.
Would she be the king of daytime television?
Yes.
The queen.
She'd be the queen.
Queen, king, whatever.
No,
she was the undisputed heavyweight champion.
The queen does not have balls.
Wow.
She doesn't.
I thought of her as a morning show host. She was 9 o'clock.
Daytime is also the morning. What shift do you think we're working?
Mornings.
Is that not in the daytime?
Carm and York are daytime in the middle. Waddle and Sylvia are afternoon drive.
No, you see that sun? We're on in the daytime,
it's
pal.
Cloudy to me.
No, I mean, see that? There's God put the light on there. It might be a little cloudy, but I mean, it's we're in the daytime.
Okay,
are we
then
not?
It would be Donahue.
Yep.
Povich. Maury.
Not Povich. Get him out of not Povich.
Steve Wilkos.
All right.
Wilkos.
That'll be fine.
And
all right.
Springer. All right. Did I ever tell you my Springer story?
Nope. And we got to go because we got to around the National Football League.
I hung out with him.
Right around the corner.
Boy, the ladies
don't
liked
still
him.
Still to come, Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears. We'll hear from him coming up at 8:35. Captain Jay Hood on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We got Carmen and Yurko live from Kansas City, the site of the 2023 NFL Draft. Carmen and Yurko will be together from 10 to 2. Doing their show and Greeny's show as well. Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 5:30. Darnell Wright, the newest Chicago Bear, will be on ESPN 1000 at 2:30 this afternoon. And Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 5:30 into White Sox baseball as they take on the Tampa Rays. Lucas Giolito on the mound for the Sox. 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch here on the home of the White Sox. ESPN 1000. As Rick Conn will always tell you.
Tune in.
Time to go around the NFL.
Boy, what a lousy ball club.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers. Right?
The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Right?
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Right? I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
We got so much to get to around the National Football League. And to start us off, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, we'll get to the Lamar story. That will come up here. But I want to start in the division because Mel Kiper has put out his first round winners and head scratchers. And his biggest head scratching team is right here in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions. I know I wasn't alone in this room when they took Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama, with the 12th pick in the draft, and then double reached, taking middle linebacker Jack Campbell out of Iowa. What the F was this team doing last night?
I don't understand. If you got Montgomery, Cap, and you got him, and I still think there's at least a couple of years, good years left in Montgomery, why pick up Gibbs as the running back? You're loaded. With quality talent for the Lions. Why that choice? Don't you need secondary help? Don't you need help on your defense?
After they traded away Jeff Okuda, the former third overall pick, he had been
dealt with some injury issues. He had a much better year last year. They trade him away. I thought, perfect spot to either grab Jalen Carter, which I've been clear I wouldn't do, but Tyree Wilson's still on the board. Boy, him and Aiden Hutchinson, what a dynamic duo that would be. Or go get Christian Gonzalez, who some thought was the number one corner. Devon Witherspoon from Illinois went ahead of him. He went at 5. They did what? I was shocked. Shocked. Disappointed in the Lion fan base that, for them, that they thought, boy, we're going to control things here. Did what? I didn't get it.
I didn't understand that either, Shay. But again, the Lions, still a team that's destined for the playoffs this upcoming season, but you didn't help yourself for your future by getting this running back or a linebacker and not take care of your secondary.
I mean, are they destined for the playoffs? Their home run hitter is suspended 6 games for gambling. He's going to finish the season. I'm talking about Jameson Williams. He will not have played a full season's worth of games in the NFL at the end of his second season. Then they go in this draft, and they draft like they're trying to win Super Bowl 22 with something out of 1989, taking a running back and a middle linebacker, the two positions that have been the most devalued in the NFL over the last 2 decades. I can't wrap my head around this. For a team that had built their roster so well to this point, to turn around and do this, I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. There's a lot of ways we can go here. Can I just throw out Houston for a second? What a haul for them, getting Stroud and Anderson at the top, Cap. Houston Texans. Anderson.
All these people that said Stroud is going to slide, he may go out of the top. Stop. Guy's a damn good football player. And to get Will Anderson, who was the top edge guy on most boards. Some had Tyree Wilson, but he had some injury concerns. Will Anderson's a beast. To get that all done, I know they paid a price to come back up.
Brother.
Dude, if you're a Houston Texans fan today, you go, all right, I know we're a long way away, but hang on. We got to all-pro level left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, and we've already extended him for $1 billion. He's there. We got our young quarterback. We'll develop him. Now we get Will Anderson to play on the edge for D'Amico Ryans, who is looking for a guy like Nick Bosa. I think they had a home run night.
What do you think, Shay?
Kiper has him in head scratchers, and to be honest, I kind of agree. If you're Houston, you got to hope C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson are all pros in a hurry because they don't have a second-round pick anymore. They gave up a first-rounder next year, a third-rounder next year. I like the guys they got. I think they got 2 of the 5 best players in this draft, but they gave up a ton to do it. And they have so many holes. They're not ready to win this year. These two guys need to be all pros by their second years, or you're looking at a team that gave up a ton of assets to do this.
So for me, it would have been Anderson at 2, and then that would have been that. Because to me, again, you're not ready to win. Davis Mills is not horrible. What I'm saying is he's a placeholder for whatever's next. For me, it would have been Anderson at 2. Now, again, because you got 2 and 3, I think Will Anderson would be the better pro. That is my projection. That's my prediction. But saying that, you gave up the farm to get this thing done, to make a splash at 2 and 3. I would have gotten Anderson and then at some point find a quarterback, but not in that spot with Stroud.
This is a great point made in our Twitch chat, too. The Texans gave up more to get Will Anderson than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack.
Wow. Think about that. Again, this is, this is Caserio, new regime, D'Amico Ryans. They're trying to build this the right way. But I think Anderson will be the standout there.
Now, the one thing you said, gave up more. With Khalil Mack, you also had to give him a $140 million contract.
But you had a proven player. Will Anderson, it's still a dice roll.
True.
Let's talk about some of the winners. I know, Cap, you were out on Jalen Carter, but it's hard to look at the Eagles and think they didn't come away winners. The rich get richer. You add Jalen Carter to the middle of your defensive line, and then you put Nolan Smith on the edge on a defense that was already one of the best in the NFL.
Between the hedges in Philadelphia, because of all the Georgia guys that they have there.
It's amazing.
I mean, but
there's
it's
a
the
big
right
article,
thing.
Dog Nation. You follow them.
Yes,
I
sir.
Do, too, because
yes,
of you.
Yes, sir.
WDWG.
Yes,
Dog
sir.
Dog Nation. And
sick 'em.
Holy bleep, there's a whole article about how Georgia now plays in Pennsylvania. All these guys.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Again, you don't worry about them, Cap, because of how they were coached, the program they come from, they're national champions. Oh, yeah. No, no, we're coming. And again, there's a player in place that was almost in jail a month ago, and Jalen Carter. And so we'll see how that works with Philadelphia, but I think that that is a home run. I don't have to be a Georgia fan to tell you that. I'm just saying that the infrastructure seems right. I trust Howie Roseman and that front office for the Eagles. I want to ask you guys about Anthony Richardson at four to the Colts. A surprise to you, Shay, because Anthony Richardson, and it's not because Alex Brown was here yesterday. I think, based on everything we saw in the combine, again, terrific, unbelievable athlete. You know that they were going to try to get a quarterback. I think that I can see a scenario where Minshew starts and then Richardson eventually gets in there for the Colts.
Yeah, that's going to be the way it plays out. Yeah. I was talking to some people yesterday that work at some sports books and people who are in the know a little bit, and I was told that Ballard really kind of fell in love with Levis and wanted a guy who could start day one. But as an organization, they wanted a more long-term project guy. They don't think Stroud is year one ready to go. Stroud, Richardson's year one ready to go. But they like his upside a lot more than anybody else.
Look, he's got a ton of talent. Didn't you say yesterday, the best to Alex, he's the best athlete we've seen come along at this position in a long time?
Yes.
He is loaded, but he's exceptionally raw and exceptionally put in a position where you got to be careful how you use this kid till he's ready. You cannot waste this opportunity.
I know it kind of threw me off, guys. I just didn't expect to see Brett Bielema. Of all guys, right, sitting there in the draft, get, you know, pulled, hikes his pants up, congratulations, Witherspoon, ILL. You? What are you doing here? But I understand, like, but there's Witherspoon there, top five, going to Seattle, a game changer
game
for the
changer.
Illini. Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of threw me off, Shay. It's like, I know he's going to be drafted in the top 10. I'm like, oh my God, he's here, and Lovey was never there in that spot in the first round, for a first round pick with Illinois.
Yeah, that was surprising. I was surprised to see him go five. I think everybody kind of inked him to Detroit at six. And maybe that plays a part in why Detroit had such a weird night in Witherspoon flying off the board a pick ahead of them. Maybe there was some panic there. But great to see an Illini go in the top five in the draft.
Jonathan, did you guys see the Patrick Mahomes tweet during the draft? Tyree Wilson gets picked. Immediately, Patrick Mahomes, take it easy on me, big dog. Congrats, though.
That's exactly. That's he's good. He's coming for his head.
That's good energy. How about the other winners of the draft last night quickly? Baltimore re-signs Lamar Jackson on a five-year, $260 million deal with $185 million guaranteed. Makes him the highest player in the NFL. They already gave him Odell Beckham. And then at 22, they give him Zay Flowers, the wide receiver out of Boston College.
Well, I know one thing. For my next contract negotiation, Lamar Jackson will negotiate for me.
He did this without an agent.
Yes. So he'll be upstairs, and he'll negotiate for me.
I do wonder if there's going to be a little precedent coming off of Lamar negotiating a contract like this without an agent. Obviously, you have to be a transcendent talent to do it. But if you're Patrick Mahomes, what do you need an agent for? Lamar just got this deal by himself.
And so, yeah, which is amazing to me. And I'm glad it happened right before the draft. That's cool. And just briefly, guys, we got to talk about Will Levis. If you just listen to Albert Breer, he gives you kernels, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just asked him 2 weeks ago, Albert, what are you hearing on Will Levis? And you know what he said to us? I can't find anyone that loves him. He said it on our air. We missed it, but that's what he said.
He did say that.
He says, I can't find anyone that loves him. And there he is sitting in the green room with his girlfriend and his mom. And you saw something particular about his mom that you find interesting.
What is going on with these, like, side hugs? You keep going to Will Levis, and you can read his lips. Oh, I kind of thought I'd be gone by now. And then his mom is giving him these, like, jokey side hugs, like you hug your kid after they go 0-for-4 in Little League. It's all right, honey. I got the secondhand embarrassment that I felt for Will Levis in that green room. Yikes.
Is he still there?
Oh, yeah. He's still on the board.
Yes, he spent the night?
Yes. He's there laying on the couch now. And let me just make sure it's very clear. Cap, are you listening? Make it very clear. Nobody likes a weirdo.
He was a weirdo.
I'm just saying, like, and when we went through our mock drafts, I gave him all the flowers as far as the look, the ability, the strong arm down the field, but he was a turnover machine. Could not read defense as well. I don't know. I'm just an SEC fan.
He was also the number one red zone efficient quarterback in college football last year. Number one.
Well, everybody says he's pro ready. He could start on an NFL team tomorrow, but he might already be at his ceiling.
Is he the mayonnaise and the coffee guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's why, like I said.
No, and he eats bananas with the peel on.
Oh, my God.
Nobody likes the weirdo. And the teams are like, he eats what? The whole banana? Pass.
I asked either Brisker or Gordon about that. He's like, wait, he puts what in his coffee? Mayo. They couldn't believe it.
Nobody likes the...
And the banana thing.
Nobody likes the weirdo. And he's going to prove someone wrong at some point. Ah! That's a bad combo. Coffee, mayo, and a banana with the peel on it. But there you have it, Cap. He'll be there. He'll get picked up. But just understand, there's a run on quarterbacks and wide receivers at some point in this draft. But he was not one of them.
Also, I know we have to break. Mike Florio has some very interesting stuff on Jalen Carter that he refused, good respect to him for doing it, to refuse to report until after the draft because he did not want to be part of forcing a kid down the draft board. We've got to talk about because it lines up with the intel you get because you're wired to that program.
Coming up, we will hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears, his thoughts about what the Bears did by getting Darnell Wright on the ball club. You'll hear from the general manager of the Bears next on Cap and J-Hood. Stay with us.